except there's always the what if. I didn't think of the what if.
Built one of the most trusted and systemized roofing businesses in the Northeast.
Well, just over $1 million last year without ever having to go out to the house.
Continues to pull in at over $18 million in revenue per year.
You know, I always say we've ever been today, but we're going to be better tomorrow.
Only 1 in 1,000 jobs go wrong.
I've made mistakes. I've done jobs for free.
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros, the show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
Today's guest is someone who has quietly and relentlessly built one of the most trusted and systemized roofing businesses in the Northeast. Adam Quinneville is the founder of Adam Quinneville Roofing and Siding, a company that installed over 10,000 roofs, earned more than 2,000 online reviews, and continues to pull in at over $18 million in revenue per year. He started in the early 90s, learned through hard knocks, and now runs a full-time service department, uses tech like Company Cam, Podium, and Roofful to stay in control, and has a customer satisfaction rate that's nearly perfect. Only 1 in 1,000 jobs go wrong, and when they do, Adam's teams handles it. If you're a contractor looking to grow your business, reduce headaches, and finally get off the pricing roller coaster, this is the episode for you. Let's get into it. Here's my conversation with Adam Quinneville. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mauricio. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I've done a few interviews in the past, but this is my first podcast, so thanks for thinking about us up here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. You know, I've known you since last year, and I'm really just excited to kind of talk about just your experiences with your business and really your story, right? And just how we can help, you know, other people really be successful. So tell me about your start, right? You started in the early 90s, right?
Actually, Mauricio, I'm going to date myself. It was actually in the late 80s.
Really? Wow.
I was working for my father and uncle and going to school and working after school in summers, like I'm sure a lot of roofing contractors start off with the family. Graduate high school in 1989, I went in full time. I was still 17 and I was working with my father and three uncles. As you can imagine, working with family has its challenges. It's ups and it's downs. It can be a little crazy at times. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. But I'll speed it up. After a few years, actually about six, it was just my father and uncle left, the three of us. And I kind of wanted to build the company, start advertising, hire people. And they didn't share that vision. They were all about us three guys can work with our hands. And in 25 years, you can take this over. And I was like, I don't have 25 more years on a roof. And so we had different thoughts on how to be in business. They didn't want to grow. I wanted to. I wanted to get off the roof before I was 30. So one day I just said, I'll give you a 2 weeks notice. I'm going to start my own company. And my wife at the time was pregnant with my daughter. And I started the company by myself. And wasn't a lot of thought into it. I just knew I could do roofs myself. And I did the first couple myself and was able to tie in with some builders and do new construction. And a couple of years after that, I'd had a team of maybe six, seven guys working with me. I was able to get a jingle. If you know, nowadays people don't, you know, do a lot of advertising on the radio, but 27, 28 years ago, after I was just in business, I met with a radio guy. He said, you need a jingle. And I was like, what the hell is a jingle? I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, you know, you listen to TV or radio, it's usually that annoying phrase that has the business name or the phone number in it, kind of sticks in your head. And I was like, oh yeah, I hate those. They get in my head too. And he's like, well, you need one of those. So I got a jingle with the phone number, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I don't want to sing it. It's kind of hard to sing it, but it has the number in it. I got a website back then in the late 90s, I guess, Mauricio. And back then it was TV, radio, and websites. That's all we did. But the jingle stuck in people's heads. And now nearly 30 years old later, you know, we're today, now we are in August. We've got about 100 people out in the field spread out about 10 different jobs throughout New England. And I still, when I meet people, they know my name because of the jingle from the advertising we did years ago with the radio and TV. And now being in the business now 30 years on my own, and we're starting to do repeats. We're finishing a project next week that I first did 28 years ago. It was a condominium project with three roofs to tear off. And now there's only one, the one we put on. But been in business a long time. So that's the quick 5-minute story.
Yeah, that's That's great.
From the late 80s to today.
Yeah, it's amazing. One of the things that you mentioned in our last conversation we had last week, Adam, was that one of the biggest mistakes you had was pricing, right? Not charging enough. How did you overcome that? Like, what were the mistakes you made? And what are the things that a contractor should know in order to prevent that from happening?
Well, when I first started, I always thought I had to be the cheapest because I was just new in business. And I think I tried being that for many, many years when I should have realized we were giving a great value to the customer. We were doing a great job using the best materials. Why be the cheapest? Because there's always going to be the what if. Something's going to happen. Whether your truck breaks down, you need more equipment, there's always the what if. I didn't think of the what if. I just thought about material, labor, my profit. I didn't realize I had overhead. Even though I was a small guy with a couple of trucks, I was advertising. I built a garage. I wasn't paying rent for it, but I had the expense of the garage. I had two trucks. I had gasoline. I had phone book ads. I didn't realize those extra bills. You think you're making profit when you look at your job that you've done, but you have to be able to take that profit and pay overhead. You have to have it make you enough money so you can go back and service the customer because, customers sometimes think there's something wrong and there might not be anything, but it costs money to get in the truck and drive there and go look at it. So no matter how big you are, make sure you charge enough to have enough left over to, take care of your overhead. And everybody's overhead's different. If whoever's watching this, whether you got one guy, 10 guys, 100 guys, you got to know your overhead costs and be able to factor that into your job and price it well. And at the end of the day, you can't charge enough if you're not delivering enough. You have to be able to stand behind your work, have a warranty and be able to back it up and have service if the customer wants because they think they see something. You still got to go out there. When you're driving out there, you're thinking it's not costing you any money because you're doing it. But if you're not on a job or pricing a job, it's costing you money. It's fuel, it's time. So I think everyone needs to figure that out on their own. But I always say there'll be contractors that are always going to be more money than us. And there's plenty that are going to be less. Just I think individually, you got to know your numbers, know your overhead and price it accordingly. Because up here in the Northeast, in January and February, there's not a lot going on. We don't have a 12-month roofing season. It's changed now with weather. We're warmer than it used to be, but the days are shorter. You just don't get as much done after Christmas. So you have to factor that in too, knowing that what part of the country you live in. Are you working 12 months or are you really working 9 or 10 full time, which is about what we're doing here. So that's still something we're always trying to figure out. Always trying to figure out our profit and where we need to be priced at to deliver to the customer great value.
How do you know the actual cost of the material, in terms of the actual job costing? Do you have a system in place? I know manufacturers, they give you certain pricing and all that depending on the volume, but can you walk me through that? How a contractor, if they were starting today, how would they know that? How do they factor that in?
Get your project bid out per job and know your material costs. We use a CRM that tracks everything, but it's not just material and labor. Those are obviously the two biggest, and I think it's usually in that order. Usually material is the biggest percentage of the job now, then labor. But then there's the other ones you got to remember factor in, like your dumping and your permit, and if you rent any equipment rental. Those are your hard costs to that job to get to your gross profit of that particular job. You have to figure all those costs. Then after that, you have to know your rest of your costs is for your overhead to get an idea on where you need to be. But anybody, there's plenty of CRMs. Get on a CRM if you're starting off. Make sure you have a computer system to track everything. And don't be afraid to bid stuff out. We use two or three suppliers and, you'd be surprised. Sometimes these suppliers can kind of creep up on you and you're not looking. So we like to keep it spread out a little bit. Keep everybody honest. Give everybody some piece of the action.
Yeah. You said even installed over 10,000 roofs. How do you maintain that level of service? Last time you told me that you had only 1.1% of actual jobs that go wrong. How do you maintain that level of service throughout?
Training, Mauricio. We brought now in our shop. We built a little house inside the shop. When our crews get trained here, and we film it, and we give them handouts to know the details to do it the way the manufacturer says. Even when I was doing it way back in the day, I thought I was doing it the right way, and when I was doing work, but it wasn't exactly the manufacturer's way, which is even better. So we make sure they follow the manufacturer's specifications. We use our phones in a program called Company Cam that I'm sure a lot of roofing contractors are on to document the entire process. And since about 8 or 10 years ago, we went to having a non-working project manager / safety supervisor on every job. So he can detail the safety and all the components because customers not home, they don't know what's going on. They just see the finished product. But we all know in the business, there's a roof under the roof. The underlayments under the roof that are protecting it too. So we document that entire process. And now, just in the last few years, we share a link with the customer so they could be wherever they are. they have their phone or their computer. They can follow along live as the photographs are going in. So that's full transparency. We want to show the customer we're using the materials we talked about. We're putting them on the way we're supposed to. And we're documenting the entire process. That comes with a cost. You know, that guy, he's not on the roof with his hands getting any work done. So that cost, you know, can be $400 or $500 a day when you figure in all your extra costs to the man to have a truck, his insurances. So we put that on every job, but we'd rather make sure it's done the way it's supposed to be so we don't have to go back. Maybe 1 in 1,000 instead of 1 in 100. You know, we do 100 roofs a month. If you're going back at 1 every month, that can get costly. And water is a funny thing, as we know, in this business. Sometimes it can come in different ways. It's not even through the roof. It's above it, through a window, through a wall. So just document everything and use the app for that, Company Care. I'm not in, like, they're not paying me to say this, but it's a great app.
Got it. Can you talk to me about your tech stack, like your technology that you're using? You mentioned your CRM, MarketSharp, which you've been using for a long time. One of the ones you also mentioned was Roofo. Talk about like how you use it, Roofo, and what's your like mindset, because I have a lot of contractors are afraid of using because they don't want to give out the price on the website, right? Can you talk more about that? Can you unpack that a little bit more?
Yeah, I believe in the price is the price. We're not afraid of it. We charge it out. Like I said, there's always going to be guys that'll get it done cheaper. They're not going to document it. They probably don't have insurance. They haven't been in business long enough. They're not going to have the same warranties or the same guidelines that we follow. But we use Roofo for a lot of reasons. Sometimes we get calls, and I'm sure other contractors do, where, hey, we're selling our house, we're buying a house, we just got to have an idea what this roof's going to cost. Well, with the name, address, and phone number, the satellite will zoom right in, and we put our pricing in there, and we give them 3 options, a good, better, and best option. So it helps out a lot of people that maybe they're not ready. They want to know 6 months or a year down for budgeting reasons. Or with us, being in business so long, like many other contractors, with repeat customers, they're not looking for a salesperson to come out and sit with them for an hour and go over the roofing system, how it's built, and how we do everything. They've already bought from us. So we use it a lot for those customers. So a lot of times we're selling just over $1 million last year without ever having to go out to the house until it's time to do the project. So we can do it all from the computer, and the satellite gets it within 3 to 5%. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a little shy and we've got to get extra material, but we don't charge the customer when it is.
Got it. So that basically allows you to sell a lot more roofs without having your salespeople, right? It's kind of like the e-com model, if you think about it, right? Like people buy online, like Amazon, right? That's actually like the idea that a lot of contractors are moving to. I know in the solar space, a lot of contractors have started doing that for a few years now. So that's kind of the things that I see in the place is actually a lot of, you know, they're using more technology, right? Using these different tools. And there's a lot of them, not just Roofo. There's like tools like Roofer. There's other ones that are coming out. So that allows contractors to actually provide the customer, right, with the actual information that they want, right? And that also too ties into I think pricing transparency is a big thing, because I really believe that this really comes from Marcus Sheridan information that I kind of, and actually I sent you the book. I don't know if you're going to get it this way.
Yeah.
And basically it's a short book, right? And one of the things he talks about in the book is the importance of transparency in your pricing, right? So for us, right, we have our pricing guide on our website now. And so they know the cost of digital costs of the website, of SEO, of PPC. And typically like they know like what other vendors are charging. So they know the actual pricing on different items. So in roofing, like in just any contracting space, right? What the book recommends is basically that, hey, you should have the pricing and use different software to allow the customer to get the information they want. Because if you're not giving that information, they're going to get the information from somewhere else, right? And that allows you to actually, hey, provide the information they want and potentially sell that customer, right? I think I've worked with contractors that are afraid of, they get the lead and somehow, hey, they don't close right away or whatever, or they have a lower percentage of leads. But if you're getting a lot of inbound traffic to the website, that allows you to actually, you know, get those quality leads, right? My experience just, Adam, on this is that in the majority in the contracting space, the majority of the leads that convert to actual sale are 40% is phone calls, right? So 40% has the highest conversion rate are phone calls. The other ones have less conversion rate, but those people that are calling typically have a need, right? Have an immediate need. And those people that are filling out forms, they might not be ready yet. They might be ready later on. So you're providing that information. You started like that. How long have you been using that tool? Just curious.
We've been, this is our third year with Roofo. And another software I think I forgot to mention is Hover. That's a big one we use too. That you can take pictures around the house and get a 3D imagery of of the roof and siding, and then you can put all your pricing into it, and it can spit out your prices that way. And customers can play with the tool and change the color or change the style of certain sidings and roofing and gets the price that way too. So we use that also too with the customer. However, there's so much technology now. I'm probably forgetting two or three that we use, but we're probably using seven or eight different apps and technology help deliver a faster, better customer experience, because everybody's now attention spans are so short. Like, I'm ready to get out of the chair. I've already been sitting. Everybody with the phone, they're scrolling. So if we go out and we give the customer the option, do you want to meet with somebody or do you want us to just send you the price? So when they call in, to your point, we give them the option. So we can have somebody come out, do an evaluation. We'll get a roof R report already that gives it the details of the measurements. And we need about an hour with you to go over things that we're doing, questions you may have. About 3/4 of people would still want that, but 25% of them just say, oh, no, I know who you are. Just send us the price. So we give them that option. At the end of the day, it's all with the customer, whatever they want. If they want us to come out and do a presentation, do an evaluation, get in their attic, get walk on their roof, get everything that we do, we'll do that. But if they just want the price, we'll send them the price too. So at the end of the day, we're just trying to get to the customer whatever they want.
Yeah, and that speeds up the conversion cycle, right? It speeds up the sales process. If somebody just wants a price and they buy right away, right? It just makes it easier, right? You mentioned the fact that you do a lot of repeat business. You said last year you did over $1 million in revenue and just repeat business. Do you have like a system in place that reminds people of that, or how does that happen?
Yeah, speaking of software, we use our apps or Constant Contact. We use that to stay in contact with our customers. That's a big way that gets them to reminder, send them emails. We're not always sending, once or twice a year, we might have a special we send out. But other than that, it's, stuff around holidays and just things that are going on. I think we just send out one a month to them, and we have a pretty good opt-in rate, but they're not opting out. So that's another way we stay in front of them. Our trucks are wrapped, job signs are everywhere. So, I've got 20 trucks wrapped. So if you're driving around within 30 miles a year for the day, there's a high probability you're going to see a truck. And I really believe in truck wrap. I think it's probably the best bang for the buck. If you're going to spend $5,000, you're going to get 5 to 10 years out of that wrap, and you're going to get so many eyeballs on that. It's my advice for small contractors. Don't have big budgets for advertising. Wrap your truck. You got two, wrap them both. Start with that. Don't start advertising until you can have that image and be seen. To me, they're just driving billboards. I was never got into billboards because I was always like, listen, we got 20 trucks out there. Our billboards are moving around everywhere. Instead of spending $5,000 a month on a billboard, I'd rather spend $5,000 on the truck and have it for 7 to 10 years. Maybe on the climate, maybe in Florida, they don't last as long. But I've had some wraps on 8 or 10 years. I like to every 5 years replace them. But you think about it that way, it's $1,000 a year to have a truck wrapped on the road.
Yeah, it's free advertising. Yeah. Once you pay for it. Yeah.
I always shake my head when I drive by a job. Roof looks great. The guys are, and they don't have a sign out there. It's like, what, you don't want any more business? Is this your last roof you're ever going to do?
Yeah.
I want to ask the guy, like, no names on the van. There's nothing. You have no idea unless you knock on the door and talk to the homeowner who they hired. So maybe some people are doing that because they didn't pull a permit. I don't know. I can't understand why you wouldn't want to put a job sign unless this is your last job. You're going out of business.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned, can you walk me through that in terms of the actual, you keep in touch with your customers? You said basically one email newsletter a month, like that's how
just more about like if it's a holiday, it might be happening 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then in between we may sprinkle in that we're having a special or just a simple end of the year thank you for your business week, your anniversaries of your roof has been 3 years, just little things like that. We don't inundate them with a lot of emails because we want to keep them there. They know we're still here, and again, they're going to see the trucks, they're going to hear a little bit of radio and TV, we still do, they're going to see our advertisements on the with Google, and if they go to their phone, we pop up. So they know we're still here. We don't have to hammer them with emails and let them know we're still in business.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a roof, so it's supposed to last, a pretty long time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess depending on the different, climates, you should get 20 years on an asphalt roof.
Yeah.
I know they call them a lifetime, but you get into reading what that warranty really is. Good luck. It's written by real smart guys and real fine print. You got to get a magnifying glass out to understand it. At the end of the day, you got to believe in the company you're hiring, not just in that manufacturer's guarantee.
Yeah.
Don't wiggle their way out of it if they can.
Yeah, exactly. You have over 2,000 reviews online and over 200 video testimonials. How do you consistently capture that information from the customer?
We ask and we ask and we ask. We don't just hope they're going to do it. We ask for it. I motivate my project managers that are, on the job, documenting the process, making sure everybody's safe, to ask for it. And we give them a little bonus if they get it. So we incentivize our project managers to get that 5-star review. We have and I have a contest at the end of the year. So they get a little something every time they get one. And then we have a huge contest at the end of the year where they paid out pretty good for the most reviews. 5-star reviews are 1 point. Video testimonials are worth 2. So it's a point system. We started doing that about 7 or 8 years ago because I was stuck at like 150. And I was like, you know, if we don't ask enough, if we don't have a system in place, we're not going to get them. I can look at some of my competitors. Some have been in business more than me. They got good reputations. You go online and it's like, whoa, how can you have 40 reviews? You've been in business 35 years. Like, wow. So if you don't ask, you'll never get them. The people aren't going to match it. You'll get bad ones. If the job goes bad, you'll get one for sure. But if you want good reviews, when you're done, you got to ask for it. Simple, like anything else. You got to ask and have a system in place to get results.
Got it. How has the impact of your business?
We get customers that call and say strictly went through reviews and I'm not calling anybody else. Or they'll name guys in the review and request those certain team members. So yeah, big difference. But at the end of every, when we make a sale in the house, my guys call and I thank the customer, whether it's a $500 small repair or the most biggest roof we ever did was $212,000 residential roof or $212,000. I thank the customer for their business and tell them we're going to do a good job for them. And they know that. So they call me from the house and I do that on every job. It's my way of connecting with the customer. It's a thank you call. It's the welcome call.
You call them after the job is complete?
Sometimes I do. I email them a lot and a lot of times they'll email me with thanks, but I respond to every review personally. But we call them along and my production manager is talking to them right along the way. And then they're seeing in company cam. So a lot of times I don't call them after the fact, but when that sale's made in the house, no matter how big the job is, they call me directly on my cell phone. And if I'm eating dinner, I'll put my dinner away. I mean,
thank them. Say, hey, thank you for your business.
We appreciate it. We're going to do a great job for you. And I didn't even let them know right then because I know the scheduling about how far we're out. Oh, we should be able to get to that roof shampoo or cleaning it next week. Or your new roof. Yeah, we should be out there in a week or two. We turn them quick. We get them in, we permit them, and we turn them. I don't like having months of work. I like having a week or two. I like to stay hungry. We got to keep selling.
Exactly. That's very impressive given your scale with the amount of customers you're dealing, that you actually call each one, right?
Yeah, so they call me directly and I say hi to them. It really takes a minute or two. People are happy that I do it. And I hear that, you know, sometimes I says, why did you decide to buy from us? And a lot of times it's, you know, your reputation, your reviews, you're referred by my mother, my neighbor, my brother, my cousin, you did my neighbors, you did my house. So it's gotten easier by just, you know, constantly tweaking our processes, making it better. You know, I always say we're as good as we've ever been today, but we're going to be better tomorrow. You know, we're always trying to get better. Like an athlete playing sport. You're always practicing, always trying to get better. I look at us, it's no different. We're professionals. We're not athletes. We're professional contractors. We're always trying to get better.
Got it.
Once you think you're that, you're the best, you're done. I don't ever think I'm the best.
Yeah,
I think we should always be better. And we're always constantly today having something like, well, why aren't we doing this? And we talk about tomorrow at the manager's meeting and we're going to instill a new process to make it even better.
Yeah. Can you talk about the times that things don't go right when a customer has an issue or a problem?
Yeah, most of the time it's communication. It was either not communicated like years ago. We didn't have a process where we were documenting everything and we were sending the crew to do the job and no pictures, nothing. And now with it, so far a few between because they can see what's going on when they're there. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, you got to have great people. And I've been fortunate now in my 30th year that, you know, I only have a staff of about 10 to 20 people with sales, but let's say 20. I got 4 people that built me over 20 years. So, and some of my salesmen, I've got 2 in over 10 years. So they're getting a lot of repeat customers and we run a pretty tight ship here. Everyone knows their role, but you know, I've got great people that allow me to not have to be here all the time. You know, I'm in the office about 5 to 10 hours a week for the last many years. And that's about it because everyone has their, you know, knows what they're supposed to do and we work together as a team. At the end of the day, we're just trying to get better and help the customer. And
that allows you more time to work on the vision, I guess, the next 5 years, right? What do you want to do the next 5 and 10 years, right?
More time to deal with my kids too. You know,
yeah.
My kids are in high performing sports in Florida, golf and tennis academies, and traveling a lot on Fridays through Monday for tournaments. So it allows me to have more time with my family, which is great. At the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a dream. A lot of people that start the business, they want to have that life where they're going to have someone actually run the company while you're still like enjoying some time. Because I'm sure in the beginning, it wasn't like that, right?
No, I was doing everything, wearing all the hats, you know, and people listen to this, you're all different stages. Early on, you're wearing all the hats and I've been able to take the hats and pull them on good heads. and keep them going. But you know, we're just doing our thing over here. That's what we do every day. Try to get better.
Looking back over the last 30 years, if you could do one thing differently, what would it be?
I probably would have hired a salesperson quicker instead of me trying to do everything for the first 10 years. I didn't have a salesperson. I was doing all the sales, and I should have started quicker with that. And secondly, I probably, when I was getting involved more in larger projects, and before I had a really good project manager and estimator, I was trying to bid everything myself. And I've made mistakes. I found jobs for free. I was on a job only about 8 years ago that I didn't price it well, right? And we did a $2.5 million job. It cost me like just under $2.5 million to do the job. We were there a year, made no money. So I lose money on that because I've got overhead that should be getting paid out of that. So I've learned to, I'm not the best estimator. Hire smarter people. And when I did that, I should have done that earlier too, because I've had a few jobs where I didn't price them right. And you got to do them. You know, some other companies might try to find extra cost in there. That's not us. We don't do that. So I've realized hire smarter people to do the job and let them do the job better than you can do it. Realizing that there's people that do it better than me.
Yeah.
I should have got that out earlier.
What's the most important investment you made in the last 5 years? Whether time, money, in your business that helped you achieve?
Go back to the 6, 7, 8 years ago and put project managers on the job to document it, to get the review, to make sure we're safe, to make sure we're following OSHA guidelines. Once we did that, it was a whole nother wow. It was one of those wow moments, like, wow, processes got way easier, way less callbacks with complaints because he's there, he's documenting it. If there's a shingle lifted at the end of the job, he's going to make sure it's down before the customer sees it. A week later, we have to go back. That was a big moment years ago. If you go back 20 years ago is when I got the roofers. They're calling them buggies. Now they're called the quifters.
Yeah.
They go up to the roof. You throw the material in it. I think he sold 50,000 units. When I bought my first two, and I have 10 now, I think he told me I was his 45th and 46th unit sold.
Nice.
That was a wild moment years ago when we bought those. They're like tanks. They don't break down. And I've always told people they're great investments. They last a long, long time. The roofer equipters, they call them.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about marketing. Obviously, you're one of the clients that, contractors in Massachusetts that's really well known in terms of brand name recognition. Talk about what's the most important thing that you look for in just marketing? What's your general view of that?
Well, be there when, in our area, the customers know us because we're here. We're driving all around here. Within a 10-mile radius of us, everybody sees us. But to expand it, to go out 60, 80 miles where you're not seen as much, we use the LSA, or the Google local service ad to reach. And we've opened up multiple offices, so we're closer to people. We used to hear that, you're in, South Hadley, we're an hour away. Well, now with our three locations, we open up another one in Manchester, Connecticut, actually August 1st. So we'll have our three locations. So within a good time, but within 100 miles of here, I have offices that are 50 miles away strategically. So we're never in my market more than 50 miles from one of our offices. So we can service the customer better that way. It's more peace of mind for them to know that we're closer.
Yeah.
That's been a big move, and it helps with Google. As you know, to have multiple offices comes with an expense like anything else. But if you want to grow outside of your little area, I think multiple offices is the way to go.
Yeah. So one of the things that you guys do well, and it really separates you from other contractors, is that exactly what you just said. So any contracting business, right? You're a local provider. You're a local service provider. So what that means is basically you have to be found on the maps. You have to be found on Google, right? You have to have a lot of reviews. And having the fact that if you want to get business in other locations, right? The one thing that I recommend, exactly what you did, is actually opening a physical office. Now,
sure.
Depending on the level you are, so some people don't have the investment to spend, hey, I want to spend, $2,000 or $5,000 a month for an office. You can get a physical closet, and that actually works just as fine. You just have to make sure you have to document the actual office, because Google's getting a much more strict with, having that office in place. But you're actually getting a physical office with people in there. So,
right.
You're passing the guidelines. So the same things that you're doing for your main location, right, the Hadley location, you just follow the same process you did with the other locations, and you'll start getting jobs and leads in those other areas. Because in those areas, exactly what you said, if you're an hour away, you're probably not as well known in those areas, probably correctly, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And now we pop up with Google organically, and it helps better with the local service ads, having a physical office. And I'm not going out and we're in a 10,000 square foot building here. My other satellite offices are small. They're small locations that one person can set up comfortably in. But they are physically, have a physical address with, you know, with a real spot. But yeah, I wouldn't say go, you know, if you got a 10,000, now you need another 10,000 over here and 10,000. That can get your overhead really crazy. So we're starting small with the offices. We may build them out bigger, but you know, they're smaller for now because they're, you know, they're not our, our main office. But yeah, the strategy has been great and it's really working.
Awesome. What's been your number one lead source this year?
Oh, it's still referrals, you know, repeats or referrals. It's still number one just because we've been in business so long. But next to that is definitely the LSA ads, Google. That's definitely not far behind the referral and repeat business. But I think just being in business so long and doing a good job, it's natural to have more of that referral and repeat business. You know, 10 years ago, I had business 20 years. I didn't have any real repeat business unless they lived in a house and moved to another house. But those houses weren't ready to get roofed yet. Now they are. And, you know, I wish I had better notes because most of my stuff in the 90s was all, there was no computer back then that I was on until the late 90s. So we had to go back and enter all those into the system. Fortunately, it wasn't a real lot back then. It was, you know,
And LSA, like, do you know off the top of your head how much you're like on average you're converting, like percentage wise, maybe 20-30%, 40%, like, do you know conversion, like how much you're converting from those LSA ads?
Yeah, we're only in the 20s, but you know, we've got it down to $93, which thank you, it's been a nice number that we can deal with. We don't convert as many of those just because, you know, a lot of times they're not a referral or repeat customer. So I think we're about 27%, which is almost a third.
That's very solid. I mean, if you do the math, if you're converting about 27% and you're paying about $93 per lead, right?
Less
you're,
than $400 customer acquisition.
$400 customer acquisition, which is excellent.
Correct.
Which is excellent, right? That cost has risen tremendously the last few years with most contractors, right? I think, you know, when I started, you know, it was actually like $500 was actually normal. But now, like typical, a lot of contractors, especially like in places like in very expensive places like in Texas and Florida, $1,500 per new customer, right?
Wow.
So they're paying. You know, they have bigger roofs in Florida. So like a roof is like, it's justifiable, but they're paying like typically sometimes $500 per appointment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I know I live in Florida quite a bit, and I see these roofs getting done. It took me a while to not get upset, and I'm not doing them because I'm down there with my family. But
yeah,
they're big. And when you throw tile in the mix, you know, we have one with tile. I had to redo my roof. It's very expensive.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate your time, Adam. Where do people find you if they want to connect with you? Where do people find you?
Well, our website that got out early with the 800 number, so we kept 1-800-NEW-ROOF.net. That's where people can find us. And if you're in New England market, we service the entire six states of New England and even go a little bit into the upper part of New York. It's Albany's only about an hour and a half from us, so a little bit in New York, but unless you're a Yankees fan, you don't have to call us. No, I'm just kidding. We don't really do much in New York just because it's, you know, it's just kind of out that way. But the six New England states, we cover those. We've even gone to Bangor, Maine, which if you know where that is, that's like 5 hours from our home location to do a job.
But yeah. Oh, Adam, I appreciate it. I'm going to stop the recording. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.